What up, everybody? It's your boy Theo Pizza here with another episode of Running Race with my boy AJ Richardson, who is not here today. But we are back with my guy, Justin Jackson. First and foremost, we want to give a shout out to Prize Picks. Thank you for all the love and support. It does not go unnoticed. We thank you for getting us started, getting this podcast out there for everyone's supporters, everything. And Prize Picks, you are doing the thing. It is very easy to use. I mean, only got to pick more or less. People don't want to think too much. Everybody just want to do that and make some money. And we just want to say thank you. But, Justin, you want to start off by saying something? Go ahead.
I got to take this time, man. NCAA tournament time, March Madness. Obviously, everybody knows that we hung a banner there at UNC, did a lot of great things at UNC. Mm-hmm. But I got to give a shout out to RJ Davis. For one, he broke my three-point record, or is going to. I can't remember. But he's for sure going to become the threes in a season record holder. Mm-hmm. Averaged 21 points a game, which is an unbelievable feat in the ACC and at North Carolina. ACC Player of the Year, jersey in the rafters. Just wanted to give him a quick shout out, man. Stayed 4 years, waited his time. Obviously been balling all 4 years, but steps he took this year, bro, I got to give him a shout out for sure.
For sure. Also, to piggyback on that, I want to also give a shout out to Caleb Love. Caleb Love is a true testament of staying grounded, staying to himself, and going somewhere else and just flourishing. It was something that us as outsiders, we don't know what was going on. We don't know what happened, or honestly, we don't care. Like, at the end of the day, as being on multiple teams, having multiple teammates, we know everything that happens on the locker room stays in the locker room. We don't know why it didn't work. It just didn't work. And everyone just wanted to go their separate ways. And that's okay. But for both of those guys to have the respect for each other, and RJ came out the other day and said, I don't know what the media has to say about us or anything, but they're great friends. They talk all the time, and they both play at a year of the conference. Like, that's big time. So shout out to you, Caleb. See love, and wish the best for you going forward into the league and stuff like you and RJ. And I'm just proud of both of you guys. Y'all are really, at the end of the day, both of y'all Tar Heels for life in my mm-hmm. eyes. So 100%. Shout out to you, see love, and all that. But to piggyback on just the NCAA in general, let's talk about this, the women's tournament right now.
Okay.
Just women's sports in general, bro. Like, us having daughters, us being girl dads mm-hmm. is, I guess, we're biased. But at the end of the day, even if we didn't have daughters, the women's game is growing at a rate that it needs to, mm-hmm. and people need to pay attention to, because it's good basketball, and these ladies are putting up numbers, balling, and it's good to see good fundamental basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, people always say, oh, they need to lower the rim so they can dunk, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, why can't everyone just appreciate skill set? You know what I'm saying? We talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys who just don't have no skill set at all, and they just rely on their damn athleticism. Yeah. And when that athleticism goes, and you got to go to NBA or you got to go to college, and you got to think a little bit, mm-hmm. uh-oh.
I start looking crazy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What do I do now?
Yeah.
It gets spooky.
I think, you know, I'd be willing to go out there and say, man, that throughout this season, women's basketball and some of the games and matchups that have happened and some of the players that are putting up numbers have probably been a little bit more exciting if you're a true basketball fan mm-hmm. than some of the men's side of basketball, bro.
For sure.
I mean, I guarantee everybody was watching Caitlin Clark whenever she was televised. Mm-hmm. I guarantee now with Juju Watkins being out there, everybody's watching her.
Juju Watkins will be on TV so much next year.
I mean, why not?
She will be on TV so much next year.
Rightfully so.
And she should. It's a show.
She's averaging 30 as a freshman.
And it's crazy. And the thing is, too, even though Paige has had her injury woes. Mm-hmm. She's back. She's coming back to college.
Still hooping.
She gonna be on TV. Mm-hmm. She's nice. What's her name in Notre Dame? Hannah Hildago. I'm sorry I did not know your name. I didn't know how to pronounce it, the last name. But oh my God, J-Jax, she's a problem. I'm telling you.
And she's everybody a freshman?
Freshman. Nice. Super nice. I mean, it's just so many stars out there. You got Angel Reese. You got, God, what's the girl from South Carolina? Big girl. Camila Cardoza. Like, I mean, Haley Van Leith. I mean, Lith. I mean, you got all types of people that you can just pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a multiple times that we've been on the road and be like, hey, you watching the LSU-South Carolina game tonight? You watching Iowa play tonight? Mm-hmm. You watching USC play tonight? You see, like, they're putting up numbers too.
Numbers. Bro. Yeah. There needs to be, just because they're not flying around, dunking the ball, doing all of this stuff athletically, mm-hmm. there needs to be some respect put on women's 100%. Basketball.
100%. Just
period.
And I'm telling y'all right now, Alana Pinson gonna be a dog. She's a dog already. We'll be in the living room. We'll be like, defense. She sit down. And I don't even guard like that. So we start all right. And every time I say get a bucket, she go right to that rim and she getting a bucket. So respect. We training early. We getting right over here in this household. I don't know about the Jackson household. But we getting right over here.
Don't worry about the snipers over in the Jackson house.
They're going to be shooters.
We're going to take care of that.
We got an AAU team coming up. We'll talk about that later. But, hey, listen, another thing is, J-Jax, it's a tournament time for the women's game. Who's your Final Four? Who's in your Final Four right now?
I got South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I got them winning the whole thing. It's just hard for me to see anybody beating them.
Got you.
Got Iowa, Caitlin Clark. What she does is unbelievable. I think I'm going to stick with another one seed. I'm going to stick with Texas coming out of their bracket.
Okay.
Because they got some bucket getters. And I'm going to go with Ohio State. I think they're going to – I've watched them a couple games. They beat Iowa in a game that was televised during the regular season. And I think they might – I think they might get out of that side of the bracket. So those are my four.
Got you. I personally agree with all those. I agree with every – the same Final Four. I think South Carolina, I agree with you. I think South Carolina may be too much. They may be too much, but there is a certain... Caitlin Clark has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
She has an effect where she can go win you a game. I don't know who that person is for South Carolina every night that can go win you a game.
It's a valid point.
So that is the only person I see that can mess up South Carolina's way of winning a whole thing, because Caitlin Clark can win you a game.
Mm-hmm.
She's that good. She's that dominant. And it is, regardless if you say, I'm not scared, we can beat them, blah, 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 she's a dog.
She's a problem.
She's an issue. And don't let her be hot. And the thing is, the role players are playing well. The role players are playing well and hitting shots and stuff like that. And they start doing that, then it's curtain call.
Yeah.
It's really curtain call.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the biggest things that I see in that tournament. But I do see South Carolina winning it. I think the size of Cardoza is kind of
just... They're just so much bigger. And honestly, they're more athletic than majority of the women's basketball 100%. Teams too.
100%. So might as well just stay in the realm of NCAA basketball. Go to the men's side. As far as I just want to touch on two topics right now. One, you wanted to talk about the Samford loss. Go ahead and talk about that.
Ah, Samford, y'all. Sure, we can sit here and we can say throughout the game there's certain things that, you know, maybe you could have done better and
mm-hmm.
had a better opportunity down the stretch. But y'all gave it all y'all had, man.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a block that was called as a foul. Down one with 15 seconds left. You just need a bucket after that.
Yep.
And you're going to be in transition with probably numbers because the guy who got blocked was on the ground. It's just hard for me to see the game in that way.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes to like, why do we not have a challenge in college basketball?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple you challenge that, Samford gets the ball, they're down one. Now all of a sudden, mm-hmm. they got a chance to win. Mm-hmm. But you call that foul, you can't change it. He goes to the line. Respect to him for going to the line and making two free throws. Mm-hmm. Now you're down three. You got to get a three off. It mm-hmm. changes the play calls you run.
Just the whole dynamic of the game.
It's just tough.
Other team could foul where you don't even get a three off. And just the simple stuff. And it's just like, it's time to get a challenge in college basketball just for the sole reason of you don't want it to be determined off a missed call.
You don't.
The refs are human. Mm-hmm. If they make a mistake, they make a mistake, and you have the opportunity to go challenge.
Exactly.
If you want it to be, okay, you can't challenge until the last 2 minutes.
That's easy.
Cool. That's fine. Yeah. Let's do that. You only get one challenge. When you use it, you use it. If you don't, you don't. Like, do what you want with it. But I think it's tough when you fight so hard mm-hmm. and you're on that stage for a team like Samford. But you don't know if you're going to get back there again.
Exactly.
You're playing Kansas. This is a blue yeah. blood.
That's a game that if you win that, you put Samford on the map.
You're on the map. You're for those kids will be remembered forever.
Forever.
And recruiting the thing is, the sad part is, and it is the harsh reality of it, they won't now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like,
oh, you was the guy that was close to beating. They're not going to remember that shit. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's tough in those situations. And just to piggyback on that, just off that Samford loss, Oakland. Oakland mm-hmm. beating Kentucky is That's March Madness. You know what I'm saying?
Like, unbelievable game.
You have teams being able to play those blue bloods that they don't really get to play that much. Mm-hmm. And you play a team like Kentucky. Everybody there is Kentucky fans except your families and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then you beat them. And that just goes into what we want to talk about here. It's just like, is it time for a change? I'm going to give you my opinion on the Kentucky situation. I know all the alums that play for Coach Cal be like, hell no, you tripping. All the players there that play for him right now, hell no, you tripping. But because all of those guys are in the league mm-hmm. making dumb bread, because that's what it's about. You want them to develop, get better, go to the league, provide for their family. Mm-hmm. Coach Cal does that better than damn near everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's just point blank period. Yeah. He does. But the University of Kentucky, the fans, the alums, the past players before Cal, they were judged off winning championships. Mm-hmm. They ain't been close in about damn near 8 years. It's hard to win with freshmen. Mm-hmm. It's hard to win with freshmen, especially now in the NIL days where you can take somebody who's super nice and SoCon or whatever other league and put them on a Power 5 school, and then you got to play them, and then you mm-hmm. you play an older team, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, it's just the maturity factor is a real thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a real thing. When it comes down to winning at the end of the game, somebody was talking about it yesterday. It's like, will Kentucky be able to make that mature decision at the end of the game? We don't know.
Don't
they don't even know. Mm-mm. What is the, you can go over it all year long. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn from this because we're going to need it later. When that tournament comes, it does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter whatsoever. So my biggest thing is like the alums, the boosters, all those guys, they want chips. Mm-hmm. They want to be there at the end. They want to have a chance. You losing the first round, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. You can't be a 3-seed losing to 13. No. As a Carolina fan, I don't care if we got the best class in the country, we shouldn't lose. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I'm not cool with that. Mm-hmm. We're there to win. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's the decision they have to make. Are they cool with guys just going to NBA and all that and making money, blah, blah, blah? But that does nothing for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It does nothing for them. Yeah. They want to win. Now, if you want to win, then you might have to just take a different route.
Yeah. I think it's important to kind of how you started off. It's important to give him the credit when it comes to
100%.
you are making a lot 100%. Of young men's lives
yeah.
and allowing them to accomplish what they've always dreamed to do as far as getting to
the You'd be lying to yourself to say he's not the best yes. in the game at doing that.
Because, I mean, it's a factory. They come in, they leave.
Factory.
They're lottery picks, first round picks, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's that. But there has to be a balance because, like you said, every college coach is held to a certain standard of winning.
Yep.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. And I saw a stat. We were just talking about it. The last seven NCAA appearances, I think it was zero Final Four, zero titles. But they've lost four out of the last five NCAA tournament games. Now that's on the back of
mm-hmm.
losing to Oakland, 14 seed. Last year they lost to St. Peter's, the 15 mm-hmm. seed. So there has to be a balance yeah. of, okay, look, we get it. You're producing all of these pros, but you got to give us something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to give us as a university at least a Final Four,
mm-hmm.
at least a chance of making it.
At least a fucking second weekend.
You get bounced out the first game 2 years in a row.
Listen.
There's an issue. If North Carolina, if Coach Davis got bounced out the first two,
dog,
his job would be under fire.
His job was in the balance last year.
After 2 years, 1 year of not making the tournament.
He started his first year. He went to the final game and we should have won it.
Mm-hmm.
We tricked that off.
Yeah.
And then the next year, you bring the same team pack. You're the number one team in the country to start the season and you don't make the tournament. And they're like, is he the answer?
Is he the one for us?
I'm like, yo.
Are you serious? After 2 years? And after making it to the championship? Really?
Sick work, bro. This media is wild.
But then you go back-to-back years of losing in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, where's that accountability?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know. I think it is hard because obviously I want to continue to see young men go and
get the bread,
provide for their families and that and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. There's got to be something.
Yeah, you know?
There has to be a balance.
They will owe him $35 million if. You make more money the further you go, though.
Yeah. But I think, too, though, to go off of that, if you look at the teams that have been good with Kentucky, with Cal,
mm-hmm.
they've always had a few younger or older guys with them.
I've had that conversation. They've always had older guys, but Kentucky isn't mainly the only hotbed anymore, though, of
True.
Guys.
True.
They don't get the guy anymore.
That is valid. That's
you see what I'm saying?
There like, for a while, they were getting the top seven players.
They
the
got
country.
The top seven. Out of the top 10, they would have at least three or four
yeah,
of them.
That is true.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Now they're talking about Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham. Now, Rob Dillingham is an issue.
He is good.
Reed Shepherd, I don't know if he's the same guy if he goes somewhere else. I'm going to be completely honest. Reed Shepherd is a very good basketball
player. Very solid
very
basketball
solid
player.
Basketball mm-hmm. player.
100%.
Is he the same? Do you look at him in the same light if he doesn't go to Kentucky? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I did look up. He shot 52% from three all year, though.
Okay, Reed Shepherd, you're a lottery pick.
I will give him that. 52% from three all season.
That's insane.
Insane.
That's insane. But at the end of the day, you look at the game. The pressure got to him too.
100%. He wasn't the same player.
He was not. They were saying it even on the telecast. I've not seen him play like this.
Yeah.
The tournament is different because it's one and your season could be over.
Over. Done.
It's done.
You're in the offseason.
And the thing is, I said, let's say the year we won it, we were freshmen. There's no chance we make it that fucking far.
No way. We're losing to Arkansas.
We lose
probably by
Arkansas.
30.
We probably like, God, they playing fast. They play hard.
Yeah.
They're not even playing good. They playing pickup basketball. I remember during the game, he said, hey, look, one of the guys was like, yo, damn all this shit coach talking about. Let's play pickup. They start playing pickup. They start cooking.
They start cooking.
I said, oh, damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, it's going to be interesting, bro. I don't know if you, because he gets the recruits.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, if you want to win, I feel like you need to move on. This is my opinion. If you want to go deeper in the tournament, you need to move on. Who can replace Cal? I say Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley, he's a winner.
Yeah.
He has won at the highest level. He's the shit. It's gonna be hard to beat them up this year. Shit. I mean, he is the way his teams execute at a high level.
Stuff he runs.
That's NBA basketball,
it
bro.
It is.
They play NBA basketball over there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
They think the game, they play the game at a high level. So like that's a good replacement for Cal if it comes down to that. But it's just tough, bro, because like I said, what'd you say? The first 4 years he went to the Final Four?
First 4 years he went to the Final Four like three times and had a title.
You got to think about the players. That's what it comes down to. It's different type of players. You had Julius, Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You had Cat, Book.
Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Tyler Ulis. Willie Cauley-Stein. Like, James Young, Harrison Twin, like.
Bro, they had killers, bro.
Bro, everybody we just named, all of them were top 10.
Yeah.
Damn near.
Yeah.
Like, dogs.
They had like 7 lottery picks our freshman year, bro. Like, I mean, so when you have that kind of talent come through, obviously they didn't win it that year, but they made it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
When you have that type of talent.
And I'll say this, they were the best team ever in college basketball. I don't give a damn they didn't win a national championship. They were the best team in college basketball history. I'm willing to put 10 toes down. I don't care who you bring, anybody you're talking about, they can beat them. Was he?
Yeah,
he was. Nah.
Number two.
He was like number he was
up there.
He was top 5.
He was up there.
Every single year Cal's had a top 5 recruit.
No, he does.
But he had a top player this year.
He does.
Yeah, but the top player. Think about it. The years where they were actually pretty good, they had top players.
Yeah, Rob was top 10, I think. Rob might have been top. He had two of them.
Cool. He had two of them. One was. Listen, never mind.
And my biggest thing, Jay Wright said it yesterday. He said, those days of young guys being able to win are over.
Mm-hmm.
They're over. You're not winning with just a young team anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's not happening. Because at the end of the day, these older teams, they're not scared of you.
No.
And they're going to beat you up.
Yeah.
And they're just going to. The Oakland coach said it. He said, we play close games. We win close games. You can say that to a Kentucky young kid. We win close games. All right, coach, what do we do though?
Yeah. Like how?
I could go get you a bucket.
Yeah.
But if this happens and I get beat and my guy's in the corner, do I just shell bear? Oh, no. Do I take the man and then you just take the corner guy? Yeah. That's just not happening fluidly for those guys.
Think about what we knew
at
18, 19 years old. Compared to some of these guys are 6 years in college.
Bro. Yeah. We got a guy going on 10.
Think about that.
Come on, bro. And he over here talking about boo. I bet you've been shooting on the same rim for 10 years.
Hey. Think about that, though.
That's it. Work.
You have a 23, 24. Heck, we've got a 25-year-old on our team playing against a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
The amount of basketball that 24-year-old has seen and played and experienced.
Atmospheres.
Compared to what they have experienced, mm-hmm. It's just not even comparable.
Experience is a bigger teacher, man.
So when it comes to those games where it's one or done and teams are able to, especially with these games, because mm-hmm. you see on Saturday who you're playing. Mm-hmm. So you have all week to prepare for these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now the turnaround of having a day in between is different, but having that first game where Oakland was able to key in on, hey, look, we can take advantage of this guy. We can take advantage of this.
That's why the second game is a lot harder
for the lower seeds. 100%.
Because you can't prep like you did before. That's why as the years I was there, the early game, the first games were always the hardest.
Yeah.
Always. I mean, clearly they get harder, but like mentally you got to just be like fight through. Because we always play a lower seed. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they're just playing with house money, bro.
Yeah.
They know they're not supposed to win.
Nothing to lose.
They got nothing to lose. Huh. I remember I was talking, like, even our game, like, they were just like, do you just shoot threes? I'm like, no, you just throw the ball inside.
You just keep going inside. Time. Like, don't get away from
the size of
what
the
will win it.
Yeah, like. Shout out to Prize Picks, our presenting partner, the Daily Fantasy Sports Game.
At Prize Picks, you don't play against anybody. You only play against the stat projections. And it's very easy to play. It only takes less than 60 seconds to make my picks and submit my entries.
AJ just told you how easy it is. All you have to do is pick between 2 to 6 players and pick more than or less than.
Prize Picks has something for everybody, from the NBA to the NHL to even college basketball. My dog Rob Dillingham got me cashing out.
With as little as 4 correct entries, you can make up to 100 times your money. So you can turn $10 into $1,000. You can turn $20 into $2,000.
Download the app today. Use code RACE for your first deposit match up to $100.
I have a question. The last two freshman teams to win a national championship, 2012 AD, Mike Kidd Gilchrist, Marquise Teague, and Jaleel's our year, our freshman year, Jaleel, Tyus, Justice, Grayson, Emil, all those guys. Do they win it this year?
They run through this tournament.
100%.
If we're being completely honest, they're, and as good as UConn is this year in college basketball,
yeah,
they beat this UConn team by 15-20.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Big fella for UConn, solid. Solid player. Anthony Davis is giving him the business. Jaleel Okafor is giving him the business on the block. Oh my gosh. Tyus Jones is picking them apart.
Picking them apart. I mean, that's the tough thing whenever you compare different.
There's levels to the shit.
There's different levels.
There's levels to the shit.
Because if you have our 2017 team in this tournament.
Oh. What you talking about?
If you have our team in this tournament, there's not a game where we are winning by less than 12 points.
The level of college basketball has gone down.
There's different. I think a part of that is just the NIL and how talent is spreading apart everywhere. And there's, but also I think the skill level within basketball in of itself right now, I don't know if it's the same as it has been in years past.
For sure. But that's a good pick. That's a good way to segue into what we're talking to next. The G League and Knight have been canned. They're done.
Disbanded.
They're done. It makes a whole lot of sense. It makes a whole lot of sense because at the end of the day, it's basically putting the Kentucky Wildcats or whatever freshman-led team on an NBA G League. On the NBA G League court with grown men. I'm talking about this from experience. Got it in the G League. Give a fuck. Who cares? Played them this year. You were on the 10-day. You didn't get to play against them. They are talented kids. They have a lot of potential. They just don't get it yet. They don't get it, and you just... As I'm playing the game, I know, like, he's not going to do this. He's not going to know this. He's not going to know this coverage. He's not going to know how to guard this coverage whatsoever. Like, it's just the little things, bro. It's the little things. And I'm sure they go over it and shoot around. I'm sure they go over. But it's the travel. It's the scout. It's the film. It's the personnel. Like, all that goes into playing the game at the highest level. You're going against bros. We're not going to class.
No.
All we talk about and all we do is play basketball.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to bring an 18-year-old and play us? Get the come on, bro.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's tough, bro. Like, and then you got, like I said, you got assignment guys, you got two-way guys. Like, you're going against grown men. And they have the vets up. They got Norris Cole. They got Pargo. Like, they got John Jenkins, guys like that over there trying to help them. But it's just tough. It gets them. And the NIL stuff doesn't help also. But it's a tough way to go develop and win. And you got to say, we don't care about winning. You want to win a little bit.
Yeah. Damn. What's their record was what, like 2-28 this year?
Yeah, they're two and something like that right now.
I mean, it's like you said, going back to what we were talking about, you have a freshman in college, basically, basically a whole team of it, going against, this is what year for you, six?
Six, yep.
If I was there, it's year seven for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that these guys, now, to their defense, first year they had it, they had some guys who were able to translate to the mm-hmm. NBA. Like they were ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think that you can have a freshman in college go against somebody that's already been in the league for 6-7 years,
mm-hmm.
then you're just out of your mind.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's a Zion Williamson, a Jonathan Kuminga in the first year, there's nobody that physically and mentally will be able to play.
100%.
They might have all the skills in the world. They might be nicer than us when it comes to skill set.
100%.
But if they don't have the mental capacity to play professional basketball,
mm-hmm.
there's only so much you can do.
100%.
Period.
And it comes to the fact of, like, I don't know if they had, like, a top 10 guy come to the Ignite this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a difference between Jalen Green. Jalen Green was like two.
Jalen Green.
He was like number two in the country.
Yeah.
Kuminga was like the top 10 pick. Easy. Like, just the athleticism was just, it was NBA athleticism from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys were guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting those guys, yeah. right?
You're so hoping. Like,
because you don't have to. You don't have to go to Ignite. Why the Why would they want to go to Ignite when they can just go to college and make $1 million+?
Be there for 6 months, enjoy college life, and then bounce.
College life, and then just bounce. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's where it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's like, okay, I think that's what it came down to. Like, we can't compare to that. We can't match up because we're not getting the same type of talent.
Yeah.
Not saying the guys they have now are bad. Like, they have a chance, mm-hmm. but it's not the Cooper Flagg that's coming out. Now, if Cooper Flagg was like, yo, I'm coming in, I want to come in Ignite, and they'd be like, all right, we're going to keep Ignite open.
We'll keep it.
We'll keep Ignite
going. Keep it for at least another
and
year.
And see what happens. AJ DeMancia, he coming next year, be like, yo, I'm going to Ignite too, blah, blah, blah. Nah, bro, they're going to college.
Yeah.
They better go get this $1 million.
Exactly.
Then commercials, because these kids on the commercials.
Commercials.
Like, that's all I'm doing, the commercials.
TurboTax.
Come on, bro. What the?
Elliot was on Hilton.
Was he?
Hilton. Hilton Honors. Elliot Cadeau.
We should go back to college, bro. Might as well. Apparently, you could be at any age. There's one dude that got eight, 9 years of eligibility, bro.
There was one guy that I was reading on. He's 27 years old. And he's a freshman transferring to Ole Miss next year.
Yeah, sick work.
27 years old.
Sick work.
Listen, I mean.
He got a mortgage.
I still got 1 year.
Come on, bro. This is sick.
Yeah.
This is sick.
It's getting bad. But thankfully, this is the last year of COVID year.
For sure.
So maybe it gets back to a little bit more normalcy when it comes to age differences and things mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, the Ignite, it's a tough situation, man. Because you go from guys who you know that they are going to be at least decent in the league. To now, I think this year you have more guys that these guys potentially could be pretty good, you know? And it's like they have spurts, you see things, but it's just like, that's tough. Mm-hmm. 2-28.
It's bad work.
Rough.
It's bad work. Let's go ahead and go to the fact that we talked about it a little bit and just try to educate everybody on this little aspect here. The skill set in the NBA has transitioned. And that's the beautiful thing about this game of basketball. It continues to transition, continues to get better. And as me and you, we have talked about, we don't know what's next. We continue to do what we can to keep doing what we want to do. But let's try to help guys and players as much as we can to get to this level and be successful. At this point in time, your skill set, you have to be able to shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't shoot the ball, you better be one hell of a defender.
Mm-hmm.
the skill set of the NBA is, if you're a problem, you're like, everybody has a star. Now, you might be naturally gifted, you a bucket. Mm-hmm. Cool. Be that. Do that. Play your game. But the skill set of the NBA is really, you have to be able to shoot the ball. You have to be able to shoot the ball, and you have to be able to shoot at a high clip. And we were talking about it. We wanted to really get into just like how it transitioned from when I first got to the league, and this was 6 years ago. The standard was, if you could shoot over 35, mm-hmm. you're a good shooter. Bro, it has jumped to 40. If you're shooting over 40 now, what did you say, about 2-3 years ago? 2 years?
I would say, yeah, because I remember Joe Harris led the NBA in three-point percentage, and it was like 41.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think was maybe it's whenever Duncan really hit the scene. It was right before he got paid, and he was shooting like, at the time, it was like, bro, this guy is shooting a crazy percentage, and it was like 44, mm-hmm. something like that. So yeah, I'd probably say about 2 or 3 years ago is whenever it really...
And it's so crazy to think about, like 2-3 year span. Like, you shoot 35 now, you're not a laser.
No, you're. And a laser is
a laser is somebody who you're running off the line, mm-hmm. no matter what. They're not allowed to shoot threes. 35, capable.
Yeah, capable.
He's a capable
late
guy.
Hand.
Yeah, late hand.
Late hand on him.
Stick head. Late hand. Blah blah blah. Now it's 40.
40.
You got to shoot over 40 to be like, okay, he's a shooter.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, bro.
The league leader is Grayson Allen at 47.5%.
People, understand 47.
One out of every two shots that you shoot, you're making it. Basically.
And no disrespect to anybody, I think it is a situation where the game is.
Mm-hmm.
Our stars are JTs, are KDs, Lucas, Kais, B.I.s, Dames, Giannis. They're so good. You can't guard them one-on-one. You got to show bodies. You got to put multiple people on the ball. The Jokic's of the world, the Joel Embiid's. So you're getting good looks. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these guys are getting good looks. Grayson is just, he's flourishing, bro.
All he has to do is just stand there and line it up.
What are you supposed to? And that's no disrespect to him. That's your job.
He's the best in the league. He's the best in the job. League.
And you got it. At the end of the day, everybody say like, oh, you're shitting on him because all you're saying is all you have to do. At the end of the day, you got to do it.
Bro. You have to be, it doesn't matter what you do in life. You got to be great at your role.
Yes. Period. For sure.
And he is currently this season, he's the greatest at that role.
Exactly. Period. I mean, he's knocking it down at a high clip. What's his name? Malik Beasley for the Bucks, shooting the piss out the ball.
Michael Porter Jr.
I told you, I put Michael Porter Jr. up there with anybody.
Anybody.
He shoots the living piss out the ball. I swear, every time he shoots the ball, I think it's going. Him and KCP.
I expect it to go in.
I think it goes in every time. And clearly Grayson now. Shit. But what's KD shooting from three?
Yeah, he's 50-40, like 89. Nobody, see, this is a side note. Nobody talks about, everybody's talking about LeBron 21 years, whatever it is. This is his 17th year. And 50, he's 40, 50, 40, 90, bro. Averaging 28.
And I'm going to tell you, it's Kevin Durant. He's not getting open looks.
No.
These are contested and you're shooting over 40, bro?
Over 40.
Sick work, bro.
Come on, bro. That's your 17th sick. Year in the NBA.
Sick.
But I think it was a gradual, and then finally it was a big swing. And I think you have to give the credit. We talked about it to that light-skinned guy in San Francisco, man.
For sure.
Like, he changed the way the game was.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, nowadays, too, before you could have a defensive, heck, think about when KD, Russ, all of them were in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Roberson. He was one of the league's best defenders. He freaking got paid for being a defender.
Yeah.
But couldn't really shoot. Right?
Yeah.
You can't really have a player like that anymore. Think about all the real defenders in the league now.
Yeah.
Heck, Malik Beasley's considered a defender, mm-hmm. and he's a knockdown shooter. Yeah. Like Royce O'Neal, this year, he's been freaking shooting the crap out the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like nowadays, you really can't have a, other than like your big, if you have like a traditional big,
yeah,
can't really have a gap in there with somebody who can't shoot.
Because as everyone sees now, they're going to put their best player on the guy who can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to guard him.
Yeah.
And he's just going to protect the paint.
Protect the paint, rest, and then come back down on the other end and cook you.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, Grayson, you're shooting 48.
48,
sorry
for the Grayson, disrespect. My bad.
Sorry for the disrespect.
Respect to you, bro.
But it's Stephen Curry has, I agree, it's him and AI. It's him and AI who's changed the game. As far as AI changed the game in so many ways, more of just like swag, accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as people like, what does that matter? In
being yourself.
Like, comfortable in their own skin, being mm-hmm. themselves, having a little flair to them, but also going out there and producing.
Mm-hmm.
That was AI. And we thank you for that because we would have been all looking like default players out there. And now we out there, we looking good and all that, blah, blah, blah. But Steph has changed it, bro, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as everybody tries to fight it, blah, 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 like, kids, what do kids try to do every time they, bro, even we do it. Bro, we come out of halftime, what do we go to?
Shoot threes.
Going straight to the three-point line.
That's it. It's just the way basketball is, bro.
Hey, listen, bro, at the end of the day, we talk about, bro, I got to shoot it better. Listen, bro, I got to shoot it. Bro. It is what it is, bro. Like, he's trying. And that's the biggest thing of, I think, with the new day and age taking over a little bit, we cannot sit here and not appreciate mm-hmm. what LeBron, Steph, KD, all these guys, those guys have done for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, like, I throw Russ, like, what they have done for this game is unbelievable, bro. They've set the pathway for all the other younger mm-hmm. guys to come in and just be themselves,
mm-hmm.
try new things, and become great. And they gave you the formula of longevity. That's the biggest thing. Longevity in this league is not easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, being able to play at this high level for this long and be efficient and understand like the beauty of playing basketball the right way. I think that's one thing we got to make sure we don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I commend those guys and tough.
Evolution of the game, brother. Yeah. Evolution of the
game.
It's
been great. It's been. Yeah. Yeah. Every single one. And I mean, even Chris on the way out and the way he sees the game and pick and roll and Lob City, like everybody remembers Lob City.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like he's transitioned his game. Bro, the fact that LeBron has played in two decades.
Two full decades.
That's sick, bro.
I was 8 years old when he started playing basketball, when he started playing in the league.
That's sick, bro. But I don't want to end this without talking about, we were talking about this the other day. This Boston Celtics team is scary.
Brad Stevens did something over there. I'll tell you that.
He went to work.
Last year they didn't win it, obviously, but last 2 years he's been putting some plays together, bro.
He put a play together on this one. This team is good.
11 games in front of the second seed.
I don't care about nobody else. That team is good. They're deep. Because the reason I say that too is because in the playoffs, you play 8, 9. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Derek White, Kristaps Porzingis. Those are your five. They're playing at least 35. Mm-hmm. JT and JB and Drew, they're going to play majority of the game.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Then you got KP shooting the piss out the ball. You got no big in the paint, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you have Al Horford.
Which is very underrated.
Very underrated.
People can hate on him all they want.
Especially in the offs.
He does all the little things perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, bro, is like everyone's like, they don't have the names off the bench, but they get it done. They know their role. Yeah. They're not going to be in the way. And they can shoot. Sam Hauser can shoot the piss out of the ball.
Hauser.
Payton can shoot it. He could just score in general. He could just score in general. Like, they got a really good basketball
team. That's 8. That's 8 deep, which is about, that's what you'll play. I mean, really, you'll probably slim it down to 7.
And they just got Tillman.
David Tillman.
And he's been in playoff games. He's been in that funk before. So. Yeah.
And let's throw, hey, hold on. We got to throw Big Corn out there, too.
Ball Big Corn.
You got to throw Big Corn out there.
You out there going crazy with the little crazy contest you doing. Hey, listen, shout out to Boston, man. Y'all look really good out there. Shout out to my boy JT. About to get him on the pod soon. Come on now.
Lock it in.
But yeah, man, it's the game of basketball is in good hands. It's getting better, women's and men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about the tournament going forward and NBA playoffs on the way. I'm excited for all
this
that.
It's a great time.
Hey, listen,
of year,
the playoffs bro. Damn near starting now.
Low-key.
Because these teams are fighting mm-hmm. for position right now.
That play-in.
No one wants to be in that play-in.
Play-in tournament, actually, you know, I actually am a fan, not just because it's more basketball to play, but it creates these last 10, 15 games to be that much
they
more
mean
important.
Something. Yep.
You don't just see teams just everywhere just resting all their stars for the last 10 games. And like, no, we got to win this.
For sure.
We're trying to move up.
For sure.
So I respect this play-in for sure. tournament.
Yeah, man. That's another episode of Running Race with my boy J-Jax. But before we go, just want to make an announcement. I am starting a new brand for dads. It is called Proud Dad Brand. It is something that I have been working on for a while. It is something that me and Jess have talked about this on the pod before, how it's... I don't want to diminish anything from women at all because there's nothing we would do without them. Our wives, our fiancés, whatever, girlfriends, whatever they are, there's nothing, we wouldn't be what we are without them. But I want to get the message out there. The reason of doing this is I want to get the message out there is to be simply just proud to be a dad and just be present, be aware, and be just... more of like, not afraid. It's something to be proud of as far as these kids really look up to us. And every time I see my daughter, she lights up. She looks at it like, that's my dad. She's proud. Mm-hmm. Anytime our kids come to the game, they're crying because they can't come to us. And they really look up to us and everything we do. And me and Justin talk about this all the time. We go on road trips and... when we come home, we can see, and I don't want to speak for him, but for me, it's hard because I can tell it affects her a little bit when I'm not home. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. And it's hard for me because I love my daughter, love my fiance, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. And I want all men out there, if you're a father, soon to be father, to just be proud and embrace it. Embrace the love of your children and your family and just... don't be afraid of the situation. Yes, it is hard. Yes, it is a mentally taxing situation because you just want them to have a great life. But at the same time, embrace it, have fun with it, and just don't be afraid of that moment of being a father. It ain't for everybody. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, it's just like if you're in that situation and you have a child, you have a daughter or son, just embrace that and love them to death and just be proud of it. So Proud Dad Brand. Coming out soon. We're going to have some merch, shirts, hoodies, maybe some hats. I might do hats. If y'all want hats, y'all let me know. Hit me up in the chat hit Title League or Run Your Race and let me know. But coming soon, we're going to have some merch coming out, and it's going to be dope. It's going to be dope. So it's going to be fun. But that's another episode of Run Your Race, brother. And Justin, appreciate you again for coming on.
Of course, appreciate you, man.
So, that'd be dope. All right. Peace.